And now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. This portion of the show is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best. Shimano. And by Yamaha Outboards, official motor sponsor of Let's Talk Hookup. Here we go. Another great hour of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Here's Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Sander.
And welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup, right here on the Let's Talk Hookup app, YouTube, Facebook Live, and 97.3 The Fan. Pete Gray here, along with Corey Sander, and we're having a great time with Mr. Jim Hendricks from Saltwater Sportsman, CCA California, and just all-around fishing nice guy, for sure.
He wears a lot of hats.
He wears a lot of hats. And want to thank, take a minute to thank Jeff over at The Fan for monitoring the phones and running the board. Jeff does such a great job.
Awesome, Jeff.
Mr. Hamby is the best. So thanks, Jeff, for all that you do on The Fan there for us. And now if you could just get Padres to take that game today. So.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I love Hamby. On occasion, he'll be on the daytime shows with Scravy.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah. It's a fun radio show.
He's a fan over there at The Fan. Yep. But Jim, great job here, and giving away a great prize, too, right, Corey?
Are you kidding me? Great. This is over the top great. An overnight trip out of Fisherman's Landing, and I'm sure Carl will honor the same thing as he's done in the past, and you can utilize that overnight trip, and it's an open party trip, anything open party through Fisherman's Landing, and you can downgrade to a full day trip, or you can upgrade. If you want to spend the extra funds and go on a 2 day or a day and a half, you can do so. And so one lucky caller, one lucky texter.
Just tell him Corey said that.
Right, I know, right? Sorry, Carl. Yeah, it's all good. No, Carl's honored that in the past, right? I mean, just, it's super cool, though, to have that overnight trip. It's good for any open party. Keep that in mind.
Open party, overnight trip.
So one lucky caller, one lucky texter, Jim's
$100.
Dude, are you kidding me? Bring it on, man. Yeah.
Optics
yesterday, overnight trip today.
Yeah,
bring it on. Yeah, so you want to give us a call, 833-288-0973, and you can talk to Jeff Hamby on the other side there.
There you go. All right. So you had a great text, right?
There's so many coming through, so and I do, and I'm ready right here. And it comes from Ellie, and Ellie lives in Sherman Oaks. Hey, Jim, I love finding and reading your articles wherever I find them. I see you fishing MDR Anglers, Marina Del Rey Anglers Tournament all the time, specifically the halibut tournament. Right? Here comes the information, right, Jim?
Right.
Would like to hear what tackle and rigging you like to use when targeting halibut in Santa Monica Bay.
Well, thanks. That's a good question. I'm not sure I have a good answer. I'll tell you what I use, but it didn't work this year. It worked the year before when we won the tournament. I was fishing a Carolina rig with a live sardine, so about a two and a half foot leader behind a swivel, and then a bead to protect the knot, and then a egg sinker, a sliding egg sinker, depending on the current, the wind, the drift, the size of the bait, anywhere from, say, an ounce and a half, as much as 3 ounces on the sliding sinker. And that allows you to, once you get bit, if you got a hot halibut hits it and wants to run fast, which happens a lot when they're on their feed, they're actually actively hunting rather than ambushing, they'll grab it and they'll just take off.
How long of a leader below that swivel?
About 2.5.
2.5 feet.
Yeah, 2.5 feet. Not
and
too
what
long.
What pound test you use?
I was using 25-pound test AFTCO Psycho Pro, fluorocarbon. And I put a top, little bit of a top shot on it, but I'm fishing braid, usually around 50-pound braid on there. And
you using a treble hook as a
no, I don't. I use a 3-aught Gorilla Light is what I've been using. I think the problem is the way we fish this halibut tournament is we fish a lot of structure. So we're in and out of heavy structure, rocks, kelps, and what we're doing is we're bringing the bait up over the structure spots and then dropping it on the sand spots in between them, and that's where those big halibut tend to
you
lie.
Just let out like a big cat out of the bag, because not a lot of people realize that halibut are associated with hard bottom.
They are. They are.
Hugely.
In fact, I always say if you really want to catch a big halibut, go bass fishing.
Yes.
You're gonna find, you'll find the halibut and the sand bass in the same area.
And the other part of that, too, is, yeah, you have hard bottom and you're metering the hard bottom, but you don't realize there's 6 inches of sand dusted over certain areas.
Right, right. Yeah, and that's where those halibut, they lay right on the edge waiting for something to come off of those.
That dude, I'm bit already. I can feel it. So
I don't how do you the, keep from hooking the structure, though?
Well, you hold the rod, and not using a treble hook is another important part of it. It's like, because you got that treble hook that tends to want to snag anything coming, piece of kelp, eelgrass, or whatever. So
mackerel or sardine?
A very small mackerel if you're going to use it, like a gummy, or a sardine is what I prefer. I prefer a sardine hooked through the roof of the mouth and out the top of the nose is the way I hook them.
Okay.
It tends to not to turn as easily.
So not through the bottom jaw, but up through,
up
above the bottom jaw.
Yeah,
that
keeps them, you know, breathing, lets them breathe, but prevents the hook.
Instead of sideways to the nose, it'll pull off easier.
Yeah, well, yeah, I think sideways to the nose tends to turn back into the gill a little bit more. And when those big halibut, they don't hesitate. You get a 30-pound halibut, he or she is going to raise up and just engulf that bait. And when they engulf it, sometimes they kind of wrap it up and get it all crunched up, and that's when the hook turns.
Uh-huh.
So you want to keep that hook from turning.
And the bait size, too, like a lot of people don't realize, a legal size halibut, 22, 23 inch, can inhale a 7 inch, 8 inch sardine or mackerel.
Oh, like, yeah, absolutely.
Down the gullet.
Absolutely. They don't hesitate. This whole thing where, I'm going to let him eat, No, they've got it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes, right.
A
man after my own heart. Because whenever you see those scrape marks and all that, the finest tooth fish are the smallest of them.
Right, right.
Yes, the little pancakes are the ones that are leaving those, what looked like a 20-pounder has raked it.
When you get a raked bait, it's just because it was a small fish.
Yeah.
So, and when you're halibut tournament fishing, you're aiming for
looking for a big
fish.
Yeah.
So, now, having said all that, this year, our top angler on our boat was Wendy Toshihara, and she fished soft plastic paddle-tailed jigs exclusively. And she caught she caught three halibut in the tournament, and including a fish that we failed to put in the boat. We estimated around 35 pounds. But we lost it at the net.
Ouch.
5 minutes into the tournament. But then she went on, on the next cast, she went on to catch a 24 pounder on soft plastic paddle tails.
Wow. Incredible.
And she was I said, "What are you doing?" She said, "I'm just slow rolling it along the bottom."
Incredible.
Just slow rolling it. And she did really well with that technique.
Good for her. Wendy's an accomplished angler.
She is. Yeah. She is outstanding. I knew she was outstanding going into this tournament.
Yeah.
I just didn't know how outstanding she really was.
Yeah, right. She is. And
she
a nice
really
person,
good.
Too.
Yes,
sure.
Yes, she is.
Yeah.
So she got top lady angler for that.
Oh, great.
Mm-hmm.
For
her 24-pound fish, which kind of made up for the fact.
Could have been a 35-pound.
Yes.
So she caught a 35-pound in the net that came out.
That came out.
But then she followed up with a 24-pound.
Yeah, exactly.
And pretty impressive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Let's jump into the phones, Corey.
Let's do that. How about Sean? Sean Colm from Lomita. Good morning, Sean. Appreciate you joining us this morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Good morning, Jim. I just want to say, we're going back 30 years. I used to did my internship on a youth group called Ocean Challenge in Southern California, where we used to catch these sand bass. I went out on a trip, twilight on Friday night on a native sun out of Pedro. And it just reminded me back in the day. I mean, we drove down there. I brought a friend that was a novice. Great way to introduce a novice to some ocean fishing is go out and catch these sand bass. We went out there. Got out to Huntington Flats. We first dropped the anchor and we got some on the swim baits, but then they didn't stick. And then we moved it a little bit. And the captain said, "If we can get this school to stick here between us and that other boat, we have limits for the whole fleet."
Wow.
And we stuck there, and the fish came under. We chummed for a little while with the anchovies, but then all of a sudden, squid came underneath the boat. We didn't have to chum anymore, and it was just a solid bite for about 2 hours. So we all got limits. They're all, 2 to 5, a couple little bigger ones.
Incredible.
But it was just great, solid, fun fishing, great for a novice, bringing back memories of taking kids fishing back in the 90s. And yeah, it's all about the chovies, isn't it, Corey?
It really is. I mean, the whole cycle we're experiencing, everything, the white sea bass, the halibut, it's a healthy – I mean, if you got to deal with it on an overnight trip or day and a half – bring some jigs, man.
Yeah.
I want to say that sand bass fishing is incredible, but if it weren't for the hard work of organizations like Sport Fishing Association of California and CCA California, we wouldn't be able to fish.
There would be a no limit right
there would
now.
Be a yeah, there
it would be closed. Yeah,
that's scary.
Be, July it, and August.
Yeah, it would be a, would have
that's
been
scary.
A, yeah, would have been a closure for sand bass this summer and for three the next two summers as well.
Right.
So I think
that's how close it was.
That's yeah, it was scary close when it came down to the vote, the final vote. It was scary close.
But the sand bass fishing like Sean and Lomita experienced and we're having up and down the coast and it's cycled over the last couple of weeks up and down, but it comes back and it's reminiscent of how many years ago, Jim?
Oh gosh, it's been 15 years since
minimal.
We had a really good sand bass bite.
Yeah, right.
That's maybe longer. And you know what? I think that the abundance of sand bass just proves the point that we were making during the Fish and Game Commission hearings, and that is the sand bass are migratory. They are abundant.
And they still deny it. Here's the crazy thing about that, because I've had long discussions with Ken Frankie of Sport Fishing Association, and Ken will be on the show Saturday, August 2nd, to talk a lot about this and other issues that SAC's doing. But there are scientists who've actually been on the show before, I'm not going to name any names, that still deny that it's a migratory species and are ignoring the real science of how abundant that fish really is.
You know, what's interesting is all during this hot sand bass fishing, my son and I have also been out fishing stones out in deeper water.
Uh-huh.
You know, we're still catching sand bass out on those stones, which I think are resident sand bass. We're catching big sand bass out on those stones.
Sure.
So I think what you're seeing is this influx is definitely migratory.
No
They're
question.
Coming in.
Cool.
And then you got resident fish still living out on these stones, which, you know, I have to believe that. Also, I was just recently invited to sit on this Barred sand bass working group with the Department of Fish and Game. So I'll be bringing all of this up during those working group meetings.
Incredible,
Good
Jim.
Point.
Because the quote unquote migratory ones, they look totally different. They're white bellies and just lighter in color altogether. And the ones that, you know, we can consider a resident, like you're talking about the
right.
stones, are darker.
Right.
They get more of an orange face on
right,
them,
right.
and they just, they're a darker fish.
Mm-hmm. A different fish. Ken showed me video of one of the boats off of the Huntington Flats the other day and you've seen it, I've seen it, Corey's seen it, when they float, the sand bass float, and it's just like a glob of sand.
You're in 90 feet of water or 100 feet of water,
and
the
they're
sand,
up on the surface.
But they're on the surface.
And he showed me video
it's a shoal
that.
Of sand.
You
can't, shoal of sand bass.
You can't tell me that's not a migratory fish.
Yeah.
Right, because we don't have thousands of
right.
2 inches,
right.
6 inches,
right.
but all of a sudden there's 2 to 5 pounders.
Here they are.
Right,
yes.
right, right. It's interesting that our observations are often, you know, I think the scientists doubt our observations, and I think they need to take that into account, the observations of the captains out there all
Critical.
The time.
It's
yeah.
powerful.
For sure.
And Jim, thank you to you from Let's Talk Cookup for all you do. Like you're going to these meetings and you're participating, a part of CCA and helping us as recreational anglers.
Well, you're welcome, and I do it because I'm, you know, I love the fishery and I want my kids, my grandkids, and their kids to be able to enjoy the same, create the same memories, and enjoy the same kind of, you know, love of the ocean that I have had all my life.
Spread the love and the passion.
Sure. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. And Jim, you bring up the point. Without CCA and SAC, we wouldn't be fishing sand bass right now.
It's exactly right.
So
it's crazy.
Please, 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 if you're not a member of CCA, you've got to join. This is our future. If you're a fisherman, if you're a supporter of fishing, join CCA.
Yes, please.
Critical thing there. Hey, and follow up of that, Jim and Mira Mesa, or John and Mira Mesa says, Jim, with all the things you're involved in, CCA, Saltwater Sportsman, Sport Fishing Magazine, how much time do you spend with each, and how do you find time to go fishing?
Well, somehow I do, especially the fishing part. Here's my general philosophy on life. You make time for the things that you really want to do. And so I just make my time, make time to go do it, and I get involved. And I'm fortunate because being part of CCA is also tied into the writing and the work that I do for Saltwater Sportsmen. And I write editorials based on what I learn from CCA and these meetings. So it all kind of melds together, as does the fishing, by the way.
Yeah, right? I mean, it's just
it's called field research.
That's right. It's a, sorry, I'm not taking a day off. It's a field day.
It's a field day, yeah. So your name of your boat is Split Decision.
Yes, sir.
Where does that come from?
Well, I'll tell you what I tell people. My wife said, if you buy that boat, I'm going to leave you.
Oh. And you're still married?
I'm still married.
And you have the boat.
50 years in November. 50
years.
Congratulations.
Wow.
The boat's 40 years old.
So obviously the split decision worked out.
It did.
Yeah,
it did. I still have it, and it's been a great boat. My boys grew up fishing on that boat. We still have a great time.
It's a Cabo?
It's the original Cabo, yeah, 216.
216.
Yeah. I've got
awesome
a
21 foot Cabo. Great boat.
It is.
And how long have you had that boat?
40 years.
40? You've had that boat 40 years?
Yeah. Believe it or not.
That's crazy.
It's got more electronics and stuff on there than any 21 foot boat should ever have.
Wow.
And you've been everywhere on it.
I have. I've been out. I think the farthest I think I fished out is probably 50 miles out, like the 390 for Albacore.
Wow.
Back in the day.
Back in the day.
Santa Barbara Island, San Clemente.
Crazy.
Island, yeah.
And those hulls are very close to the Davis.
Yes.
Harold Davis's hulls.
They're kind of patterned after that Southern California fish, you know, head into the west in the morning and
right.
The east in the afternoon, you know.
Incredible.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Good hauls.
Let's jump back in the phone.
Let's do that. How about Mike? Mike calling from Torrance. Lines are full, by the way. Crazy,
yeah.
Man. Good morning, Mike.
Keeping Jeff busy today.
Right?
Hey, good morning, Corey. Hey, Pete. Hey, Jim.
Hey.
Just want to give you a quick surf report from the South Bay. The crabs have been soft, and the fish have been big. Not a ton of fish, but real big catch today. A lot of big corbina and croaker and some perch. And I want to say congratulations to Robert and his grandsons for having a great trip, and Andy's on that one. And as far as the bait goes, they had monster sardines for the bite yesterday that was wide open, he said. Hope you guys have a great show, and thank you very much.
Thanks for the call. Yeah. Appreciate that. Now, you have a great text?
I do, man. There's so many good texts coming through, and they're all in for the overnight trip out of Fisherman's Landing. And this one comes from Rory in Lakeside. Good morning, gentlemen. Great show. Jim, do you have any awesome trips planned? And how do you like fishing the Gulf? And he says, thanks. And a quick shout-out to Summit Gas. Walked out with breakfast, drinks, and bait for under $30 yesterday morning.
Jeez.
Gas was cheaper than everywhere else, too.
Yeah.
Cheaper
Thanks
than Costco.
For it.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Awesome trips. Like, I don't know. They're not awesome until you actually catch fish. But I think we're my next trip's going to be to Traverse Bay, Michigan, actually, the next big trip.
Wow.
To go fish smallmouth.
Oh, okay.
Smallmouth bass.
Ooh.
I don't know if you've ever been to Traverse Bay,
no.
But it's incredible. The waters remind you, if you feel like you're in the Bahamas.
Really?
Yeah, they're crystal clear. You can see everything, see all the way to the bottom, and the smallmouth fishing can be phenomenal.
Really?
Big, five, six pound smallies.
Is this a story you're going to do up there?
Actually, I'm just going to go fish up with my brother. He's got his wife got to have a little cottage they rented up there.
Nice.
They do it every year. He takes his boat, and we go small. Oh, we're also going to jig for lake trout while we're there.
Wow.
We scheduled a trip with a charter captain to go jig for, not troll for him, but actually
but jig for him.
Jig on the big lake on Lake Michigan.
Oh, so it is. It's part of the Great Lakes. So
yeah. So Traverse Bay is the.
You know what's crazy? I mean, you think Southern California quagga mussel?
Yeah.
It started in the Great Lakes.
Right.
The whole reason that it's such an awesome fishery and clean water and clear is from the filtration of the quagga mussel.
Right? Yeah.
And the quagga also created habitat for the goby.
Right.
And food, and that created food for the smallmouth. Like that whole ecosystem.
It hasn't hurt the smallmouth. It has to have helped them.
It's doubled the size and population.
Really?
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, they're just monster smallmouth.
But that's unique to Lake Michigan?
No.
Or all over?
Well, the whole ecosystem affected by quagga mussel.
Right.
Like
right.
It cleaned the water up and everything. It's the same thing as our backyard with El Cap.
So it's helped El Cap?
Like 100%.
Really?
It reeks. We've talked about it before. It reeks a nightmare of a havoc on the system for
the
water, water transfer.
Yeah,
right. That's the nightmare.
That's the nightmare.
Yes,
but
for the ecosystem, it's,
okay.
It's dude. El Cap has red ear and bluegill and perch. These crazy muscle eaters, 2 to 3 pounds,
and they all eat the quagga mussel.
Well, they have to start somewhere, and all that small bluegill is food for the ecosystem.
Yes.
Yeah. It's incredible. And there's a lot of fish there. All kinds of
fish.
That's
a half fun. You got me fired up.
Yeah. If you ever get a chance to go there and fish Traverse Bay, you should do it.
Is it topwater fishing? Or?
There's some topwater. We do a lot of drop shot, a lot of topwater in the evenings. You know, that drop shot's really what it's at. Just get
How big of a smallmouth?
6 pounds.
Oh, man, that's a big smallmouth.
Yeah, they're big. They're big there.
Son!
Yeah, well, right. It's a big body of water, you know, so they get big. Yeah, they do.
That's cool. I guess that area also has an amazing brown trout fishery in some
brown
of the
trout, yeah, just shoals.
Big,
of,
giant
sometimes
brown
just, like, trout. See, you know, during the migration, you'll just see shoals of big brown trout swimming by the shore.
Wow.
That's got, of course, they've got salmon. They got all the Pacific salmon plus Atlantic salmon there.
Wow.
Strange fish like
that. Isn't that incredible?
Like a Cisco. I caught Ciscos there on crankbaits.
What's a Cisco?
It's like a white, it's a lake whitefish, but it's not a lake whitefish. And then they get big and they're just like shiny.
Good eating?
Yes, they're delicious. Yeah, whitefish in general is good eating, very good eating.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. Cool. Hey, this is a good one here, and it's from Don in Temecula, and, you know, we love taking kids fishing, talking about kids fishing, and Don wants to take kids fishing. So, love the show. Any good advice on a spinning rod outfit for my daughter for yellowtail? Jim?
I would go with, like, a 4 or 5 thousand size, you know, spinning rod and reel.
Like a bait runner would be perfect.
A bait
right?
runner would be great.
Yeah.
I have a bait runner and I, you know, we use it for, actually, I like spinning tackle for yellowtail. Cause, you know, at Catalina, sometimes you just, you know, especially as we get to the end of these smaller baits, you know, these anchovies, they're great for throwing anchovies. And sometimes you got to wing a bait way out into the chum line to get them to bite. So I would say, you know, that size, I'd load it up with 50-pound test braid and a 7-foot spinning rod and make sure it's got a good drag because you're going to have to stop those fish once they bite.
Okay, yellowtail at Catalina, you talked about that. Bongo Joe always said pink line, pink fluorocarbon, pink Andy line. Are you subscribing on that?
No.
No?
Just make it clear.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I know.
I do like fluorocarbon.
Yeah.
I like.
I know AFCO used to make pink fluorocarbon. But
yeah, I got a couple spools. They probably never get used. I'll ask Bongos Joe if he wants to.
But Jim, I'm telling you, and I actually found one other person besides myself and Bongo Joe that subscribes to the pink fluorocarbon thing. Yeah.
I'll try it.
It works. Yellowtail.
I've got some. Yeah. I'll try it.
I think Scott Sherman was really into it.
I think you're right. Yeah.
Fluorocarbon.
I think it's designed to disappear, especially at depth. So a lot of times if I'm fishing deep for rockfish or something like that, I'll use it for that.
Yeah.
But most of the time I'm just going with the clear.
Okay. All right. Very good.
All right. Hey, I wonder what Yousef Hosseini uses. And with our fishdope.com report brought to us by the man, the angler's realtor, Yousef Hosseini. And it's all sponsored by the Fish Pros at Fisherman's Processing in San Diego, where you get your premier processing experience. You can check out their easier online system to book your processing for your long-range trips. And with more team members, Fisherman's Processing stays far ahead of the rest. With more same-day capacity and the finest customer service, you can stop by their location in Old Town on Taylor Street or just check them out at fishermansprocessing.com. And don't forget to make your reservations today. Good morning, Yousef. Can't wait for this report. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Great report today. It's biting pretty much everywhere. I'm going to start up in the Channel Islands. It is still going strong up there. Santa Cruz, Nana Kappa area, still tons of squid around. Good sea bass bite, great yellowtail bite. Really big yellowtail, 40 to 50 pounds. Halibut are still going, too. St. Nick is kind of the same story, bigger sea bass over there, and big yellowtail as well, 25 to 40 pounds, SBI, same kind of deal, lots of squid around, sea bass, and some halibut being caught. the sand bass are still going really good on the north end of the Huntington Flats in like 75 to 120 feet of water. Catalina is just on fire all the way around for the most part, from bass to sea bass to yellowtail. Bigger model sea bass coming out last week, 40 to 60 pounds with the occasional 30 to 50 pound yellowtail. San Clemente Island, still going as well. They're getting some sea bass over there with some large yellowtail. Some inside Pyramid Cove. There's a squid bed at the caves as well. These are fish being caught in about 130 feet of water outside of the caves in the squid bed. Down to the islands kind of turned on in the past couple of days. Friday, the Mission Bell had 86 yellowtail.
Yeah.
There's been mixed reports up until, you know, some guys going over there and scoring on the North Island in the rough weather side, but now it seems to have turned on. I'm going to go to offshore. Big news, we have yellowfin. The yellowfin are in up on the 289-43 area. They're also being caught on troll jigs out in the 371-425-302 area. The majority of these fish down south are not the bigger models. They're about 20 to 50 pounds. From the South 9 to the 302, it is just a giant glob of fish right now. A little bit of everything, yellowtail, bluefin, yellowfin. Yellowfin are smaller, 20 to 30 pounds. A lot of bluefin being caught in the area on spreader bars, cedar plugs, and Mad Max. And then the bigger bluefin are still sitting up off the Tanner Bank, between the Tanner Bank and the Snail. Hasn't been on fire, but it's still picking away good fishing up there.
Cool.
That's what I got for you guys.
Whoa,
the fishing is
what
incredible
a report
right
there,
now.
You know,
right?
So? Dude, the Mission Bell at the islands? Are you kidding me? 86 yellows? Like, bring it on.
It's picking up.
Yeah, good stuff for sure.
So, what's going on in the real estate game?
Real estate game is kind of the same deal. A lot of people are in a pause right now. We're waiting for these interest rates to come down. We did have a good little surge of applications about over the last 2 weeks. But hopefully it starts moving. Jerome Powell lowers the rate here soon or steps down, one of the two. And we should see some action in the real estate industry.
Right. Something going on. Now, I understand you're in the beef business too, right?
Beef business.
Yeah.
I am. Yeah, I started a grass-fed beef company about 6 months ago, and we sell quarter, half, and full shares of pure grass-fed cows that we fatten with potatoes, which nobody else does.
What?
Ooh, boy, I'll
no
bet that's
GMO
good.
Grain.
So quarter, half, and full share. So, I mean, how does that – I have no clue. Like, do you
just buy a share and put it in your freezer, right?
Exactly. It shares anywhere, like a quarter shares anywhere from 80 to about 110 pounds. And we deliver it packaged, ready to go, all the different cuts. You get every cut off of that animal for the most part.
Wow. And how does one get involved with getting some of that beef? Because it sounds delicious.
You can go to naturefedbeef.com. Or you can get us on Instagram at Nature Fed Beef Company. And they can just DM us, or you can order right online.
We're taking notes.
Orders in stock right now, and more coming.
Oh, you have them in stock? Ooh, that sounds good. Well, good for you. Yosef does it all. Real estate, beef, fishing.
Right.
You got it all going for him. And, of course, fishdope.com. Yeah, you name it. You got it. Well, you just got to keep up with your crazy brother, too, you know.
Right.
So that's the problem. But
exactly.
Yeah. Fishdope.com, you know, they have all the stuff you need. $30 off a new membership to fishdope.com using the code HOOKUPNOW. Lowercase, no space. HOOKUPNOW, your $30 code. And, again, how do we find you, Yosef?
You can get me on social media at Cal Realty, or you can get me on my cell phone, 619-277-2169. SoCal Home Eval, you can go to and get a free home evaluation, or you can check out my website and search for homes at sportsmansrealty.com.
Incredible stuff, man. You got me hungry talking all that beef talk, too, right?
Grass-fed beef.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, I need to bring you guys by some samples.
Oh, my God.
Right. Twist those arms. Hey, bring them by.
We're hungry. We'll see you in 30 minutes. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Yosef. Awesome stuff. Got us fired up. And, hey, we're going to be right back. More with Jim Hendricks. Man, he wears many hats. We're going to be right back on Let's Talk Hookup, YouTube, Facebook Live, and 97.3 The Fan.
Hey, everybody. This is Captain Dwayne Diego, four-pack charter captain, here to talk to you about Parker Boats and the good folks at West Coast Marine. When it came time to start Pinnacle Sport Fishing and get my own boat, there was only one choice. I wanted a Parker. Then there's a real good reason for it: the fishability and seaworthiness. I've been fishing on Parkers for years now, and I know the abuse they can take. Parker Marine builds a heavy-duty, industrial-strength boat, probably overbuilt, but that's what I need when we're out 12 hours a day, over 300 days a year, running charters. The guys at West Coast Marine built me one heck of a fishing boat, from the custom tower with steering and throttle controls to the backup bait pump system. My Parker 2520 XLD will deliver me to the fishing grounds reliably and safe. Take it from me. If you're ready for a new Parker at a fair, upfront, honest deal, you need to see West Coast Marine, located at 1555 Newport Boulevard in Costa Mesa, or check them out and their inventory and information online at westcoastmarine.com.
A top fleet and superb fishing is what Seaforth Sport Fishing in Mission Bay is all about. With free parking and fully stocked tackle shop, it's no wonder Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Apollo, Outer Limits, Elgato Dos, Pride, Tribute, Pacifica, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth, Sea-Watch, and San Diego offer the finest half and full-day trips available. Seaforth Sport Fishing. For charters or regular open party schedule, check seaforthlanding.com. Run by fishermen for fishermen in Mission Bay.
One rod has set the standard for serious saltwater anglers worldwide, and that's CalStar. From the rugged dependability of the West Coast series, the lightweight strength of the Graphiter, or the performance of the GG series, all CalStar rods are handmade right here in Southern California of the finest materials and craftsmanship. Check out the new CalStar models now available, as well as upgrades to the classic rods that you know and love. If you want your tackle to be state-of-the-art tools to get the job done right, it's CalStar at fine tackle dealers.
The Ford Summer Sales Event is on at your San Diego County Ford dealers. It's a great time to take a test drive to see what Ford's award-winning lineup of trucks and SUVs has to offer. You'll discover California's best-selling truck brand, Ford F-Series, equipped for anything your demanding job needs or the family vacation you're taking. Check out the Bronco family, featuring the iconic Ford Bronco or the versatile Ford Bronco Sport. Both have muscle, tech, and durability needed to go anywhere. Whether it's gas, hybrid, or all-electric, visit your local dealership to find the perfect Ford for you during the Ford Summer Sales Event. The Ford Summer Sales Event is on at your San Diego County Ford dealers. It's a great time to take a test drive to see what Ford's award-winning lineup of trucks and SUVs has to offer. Visit your local San Diego County Ford dealer today. They'll be glad to hook you up.
This is Duke Ekstrom from the Royal Star. In 1983, a group of intrepid anglers envisioned crafting the best sunglasses on the water. It's true now as it was then. Costa's performance frames excel in the toughest of elements. These styles are packed with functional features that create a competitive advantage for any adventure on the water. From the lake to offshore, Costa's Performance Collection has a legacy of helping anglers stay on the water longer. Learn more at CostaDelMar.com.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup, man. I'm having so much fun. There's so much going on.
And let's go down to the East Cape right now. Chris Moyer from East Cape. Smokey's Curing Company and Cantina is on the line. And, of course, Vaquera. Good morning, Chris.
Hey, Chris.
Pedro, Corey, Jim, buenos dias, guys.
Buenos dias. Of course, Chris Barrick did a great job yesterday filling in for you while you were out fishing on Vaquera. How did you do?
Well, first off, thanks to Chris. And, I mean, if I keep letting him do that, I'm going to lose my job. But anyway, thanks to him. So, hey, guys, you know, it's been a really tough Dorado Bite leading up to the tournament. Hey, good turnout, 103 boats. It was exciting, great. We had a rainstorm early in the morning, and it was fishing under cloud cover for most of the day. Got a little rough in the morning hours, but, it calmed down later in the day. But tough sledding, man. Let's say, maybe I think about 10 Dorado weighed. And, anywhere from 19 to 54 pounds. El Regalo took it with a 54 pounder, and they were posting pictures of that fish maybe by like 9 in the morning. So we knew they had a good one. Little side note on that. So the El Regalo crew, great friends of mine, great crew. Todd Rodriguez owns the boat. I have fished on that team the last 3 years straight on the Dorado Shootout. And of course, this year you know, I was welcome to fish again, and I said, hey, you know what, I got to jump ship and fish my own team. I got to back my own team. And they understood, but a great bunch of guys, totally happy for them. That was like, when I saw that picture posted in the morning, I was like, yep, those are my boys.
Oh.
So anyway, you know, like I said, you know, the fishing with Dorado hasn't been great. And one more little side note. So there was some guys pre-fishing the tournament the day before on Don Julio, and they bring in a 54.2 pounder, which would have been the winner the very next day. And, you know, I'm just not a big fan of pre-fishing the Dorado shootout for that very reason, especially when, you know, there's not that many big ones out there. You know, if I'm pre-fishing, you know, maybe I might be spotting or running some teasers, or, you know, if I land a fish, I'm letting it go because there's just not that many of them out there right now. But anyway, that's another story, but that's just my personal opinion, because Dorado don't, you know, typically if you catch one day in a certain place, I mean, lightning's not going to strike twice, you know, in the same spot. They're not like predictable, like maybe tuna or even wahoo. So anyway, but a great tournament. And, got, you know, everybody had a great time. And, anyway.
Good fiesta last night?
Oh, yeah. They put on a big, you know, big after party. I tell you what, Pedro, I have never, and I fish this tournament every year. I have never seen that many people literally at the scales and at the hotel. It was mayhem. It was so many people just waiting to see what was going on. And, you know, they've had more boats in the past. I mean, only, you know, 103 boats, nice turnout, but they've had more in the past. But boy, what a party on the beach and right there at the hotel. So great, you know, great turnout there. So really exciting. And, you know, we'll all be back next year, but congrats to the El Regalo.
Wow. Well, hey, great job, Chris. And we'll, of course, talk to you from the East Cape with the East Cape Fish Report next Saturday. Smokey's Curing Company in Cantino and El Regalo. Chris, great job. And next time, you'll get them next year.
All right. All right. Take care, guys.
All right, buddy. Thanks. Appreciate that very much. Bye-bye. All right. You have a good text, Corey.
I do. Kind of ironic. He jumps off the boat and he catches the winning fish.
Yeah, I know.
Poor Chris. Anyway, this one, yeah, great text. Good morning and great show. I'm curious if Jim saw any other products at ICAST that he feels would be beneficial to the average angler to add to the quiver for West Coast fishing. And it comes from, it says thanks, and it's from Brian in San Diego.
Oh, there are so many products.
Yeah.
Let me report on the other mega trend, and maybe that'll help. And that is, there are probably more clothing companies at ICAST than any other type of product.
Really?
They are, yeah. They're just, I mean, you got Hook and Under Armour and Pelagic and, of course, our favorite, AFTCO. And in fact, AFTCO won best in their category.
Okay, great.
Yeah, for their Pinnacle Shorts.
The Pinnacle Shorts?
Yeah, the warm weather technical apparel for men category.
Ooh.
With their Pinnacle Shorts.
I haven't seen those yet.
Yeah, they won an award. And there are all kinds of other clothing companies and footwear companies, for that matter. Just all kinds of footwear companies. So, you know, when I was a kid, you know, I'm fair-skinned. And, you know, there was nothing to protect us from the weather,
yeah,
you know, from the sun. And I would just, you know, you just lather up with copper tone and go out there. Because that did nothing to protect you. And it was not cool to cover up back then.
Right.
You know, if you covered up, they're like, oh, look at you.
Yeah.
You know, you got to go out there with some shorts and sneakers. Yeah.
Got to have this dark tan.
That was never going to happen for me.
Yeah. But I'm so great because I'm like you. Like, yeah. I'm fair-skinned, and mm-hmm. I don't like wearing long sleeves. But AFTCO made it possible for me and possibly yourself. That they're cool.
Same
like they breathe.
Yeah. Right.
They breathe, but they're sun protected.
Yeah, you got the hoodies, you got the gloves, you got the nice cool pants, long you know, legged pants. You
face
can wear.
Shields.
Yeah, face shields, buffs, and all that stuff. It's just it's now cool to cover up. Very cool to cover up.
And it's a must, really.
Yeah,
I mean,
you know,
with what we know about skin
medically.
Cancer.
You know what's interesting is the surfers have appropriated angling culture. And now they're wearing the technical shirts and the buffs and all that, which is kind of
That is interesting.
Yeah,
kind of contrary to the whole.
And they don't even. Yeah, it is. Yeah, but they don't even give us credit for it.
Yeah. Hey, another great text here from Jason in Oceanside says, "Good morning, Pete, Corey, and Jim. What a great show! My question is, what is the best setup recommended now for the white sea bass rod, reel, bait, and lure?" And Jim, this is the perfect guy to ask, right here.
Okay. Well, it depends on where you're going, and we're all anglers. Should be students. Always learning, always figuring out.
And everything's changing in the tackle world.
Yeah, and lots of change. But I'll tell you, and it's evolving now, but I'll tell you what I use. I use a narrow, like a number 12 narrow reel with loaded with 65-pound braid.
Do you use a lever drag?
I do use a lever drag.
Okay.
And I use a...
Like a Talica 12 or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And loaded up with braid, and I use a...
What pound braid?
65
pound.
65 pound braid, Power Pro. And then I use a top shot, 40 pound top shot. Now, this is Catalina fish. Okay, these are Catalina fish. So if those are the fish you're going after, or any of the Channel Islands fishes,
okay,
that's what you want to use. And you want to use an Owner Aki twist, 7-0 or 8-0 Aki twist.
Okay.
Now, for the squid. For the squid.
Yeah.
And because if you use anything smaller, you'll lose that fish.
Yeah.
And the Aki have a bigger bite in them,
right.
And all that hides in the bite of the squid. Like.
Right. And the rod is an 8-foot. I'm going to say, I have a 8-foot light action, I said medium light action rod.
Like a CalStar 800 XL?
Not an XL, an L.
Like an L.
An
okay.
L.
You want some give. You want some bend.
Especially because the fish can be big. Right?
And they're going to, these fish shake their heads.
As
soon as you hook them, they're shaking their heads. That's how you know it's the right kind. And
how long a top shot are you using?
Pretty short, because if you're fishing Catalina, you want, what Brandon Hayward used to call the kelp cutter rig.
Okay.
So, 3-4 foot top shot. You don't need a lot.
Yeah.
You need something. If that fish blunders into the kelp, they can saw off the kelp, and you can get them out. Hopefully, get them out.
Now,
I'll say this: I have a friend who fishes local sea bass. He looks at that outfit and he laughs. He says, "What are you doing? Come on, they're fishing really heavy stuff.
No kidding.
80, 100 pound leaders.
Really?
With 80 pound
style, right? Bring it on, man. You're talking my language.
80 pound braid, 80 to 100 pound braid.
But I'm guessing that's nighttime.
No, is daytime. He just weighed in a couple weeks ago. Weighed in a 75-pound white sea in the
Dana.
So this is coastal tankers.
70-plus.
Yeah,
pounder.
And he's fishing heavy kelp, and he's fishing mackerel.
Crazy.
A big mackerel on a float. Sometimes on the Hamburguesa, with the crocodile.
Okay.
Uh-huh. You're not going to catch a lot of fish, but the fish you catch are going to be big
quality.
Quality fish, you don't want to screw around.
As soon as you hook.
And the other thing is, we used to fish them a light drag. I remember when I first got started, it was 15 pound test, light drag, they have soft mouths. Not anymore. It's just locked down. Don't let them go anywhere.
Yeah.
Pull as hard as you can to get them in the boat.
It's so incredible. I mean, we are truly, I embrace it because we're living in an era that's incredible. Like the calico fishing, the sand bass fishing, the halibut fishing you've described, the white sea bass fishing you're describing. I mean, the offshore stuff, I don't remember 50 to 90 pound yellowfin in our backyard.
No.
And in the bluefin fishing, the last 10 years is, more incredible than the last 80 years.
Yeah. Right.
Can't wait for the albacore to show up.
Bring him.
Oh, he said it. He said it.
Hey, one note on the side to support our sponsor, Gamakatsu. Yeah. That 4X octopus that thick is absolutely
for squid fishing.
Just as good for squid fishing as that Aki twist. Yeah. It's a badass hook.
You're right.
Oh, really?
You're right.
So, but because they make a great hook too. I just wanted to make a note of that. Let's go ahead and jump into the phone.
How about Rich? Rich Kalm from Bradley. Good morning, Rich.
Hey, good morning. I always love it when Jim is on because it's always such an education for all of us.
For all of us.
So thank you, Jim.
Oh, you're welcome.
And earlier you were talking about getting your batteries from the trolling motor doctor. And 2 days ago on the Facebook page for Castaic Bass Fishing, somebody was asking, where do I go for my trolling motor now that Nick retired? So that could be a situation that's kind of in flux right now or in transition. And I got a CCA question for Jim.
Okay.
We recently learned that the application for the depth restrictions on rockfish was because of the quillback, and we recently learned that there was problems with the data that they used, that it was from out of state instead of local California.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any progress being made on relieving the depth restrictions for rockfish?
Well, nothing will happen this year. It's not going to happen this year. What we need to look forward to is 2026. And you know, our good friend Jamie Dimon, she is now on the Pacific Fisheries Management Council.
Great.
Really taking over for Mark Arelnik's seat on the fishery on the council. So she's very much tuned into this, and I have to say Jamie is aggressive. So she is going to be chasing this down as much as she can. A lot of this is, I don't completely understand why we can't catch more than two vermilion rockfish.
Yeah, right.
Right now, because every time I go out, it's a problem because I'm finding too many vermilion rockfish.
Yeah.
And the last time I was out, it's like I had to drive away from a big school of nice, you know, 3-pound vermilions.
Yeah.
And same thing with the coppers. Why we only can catch one copper, I have no idea. I don't know what that has to do with quillbacks.
Yeah, right.
I have no idea.
But that's the scientists say that.
It's a mathematical equation they're using, and I don't understand it at all.
And something that Wayne Cotto has mentioned on here before is they use, this is like the catchphrase, the best available data.
Yeah. I call it best available nonsense.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. That's more appropriate.
So that's what we need to look forward to is Jamie working hard on our behalf. She's also a very active member of the Sport Fishing Association of California and CCA California. She's a strong advocate. She deserves all the support we can give her, and she deserves all the thanks we can give her because she's got her work cut out for us. But she is dedicated to making sure that we get the best results possible.
And Jamie and Jason Diamond, Jason I've known from back 40-plus years, actually was here in San Diego and worked on the boats here,
right.
And now they own Sea Landing.
Right. That's
in
right.
Santa Barbara.
That's right.
Yeah, Santa Barbara.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. You talk about people, how she makes time for everything. She
it's
does.
Crazy.
Yeah, but she does.
That's
and,
awesome.
Yeah, and she works hard and she gets results.
Part of the fishery, man.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Hey, speaking of Santa Barbara, Daniel from Santa Barbara has a good question to transducers here. He says, great show with lots of good info from Jim. Question for Jim, what would be a good-sized transducer that would cover most of our fishery here in California?
Okay, well, there's.
You are, of course, the electronics editor.
I am. And the one I would use, if anybody came and asked me what if I can only have one transducer, what would it be? It would be the B175HW. You probably have it on your boat. I have it on my boat as well. It's a through hull, low profile, tilted element transducer. It's 1,000 watts. It's very powerful. And if you can put a through hull, if you feel comfortable putting a through hull on your boat, that's the one to have on your boat. Now,
The B175.
Yeah, it's made by Airmar, but each of the electronics manufacturers offer that transducer. They private, you know, they get it from Airmar.
With their connector.
With their plugs and
yeah.
all that stuff. So it's a B175HW. The HW means high, which is, it's a chirp transducer, so it's high on the chirp range. It's like 180 to 220 kilohertz, and it's a wide beam, so it shoots out a 25 degree cone angle down toward the bottom. It's good. I've used it down to 300 feet.
Wow.
For rockfish and whatnot. But for most of the fishing, now you can get that 175 HW chirp in a transom mount too, if you'd feel uncomfortable cutting a 3.25-inch hole in the bottom of your boat.
Now, I actually have the B175HW and the B175L on my boat.
Me too.
And you do?
Yes, I have both.
And the L, it's nice because if you have the ability with your system to be able to, like, if you're rock fishing or mm-hmm. you're swordfish fishing or something right. like that, you could see the rockfish on that thing.
Right. And you need a fish finder with two channels.
Yeah.
So in order, or otherwise you got to unplug one and plug
in
the other.
Yeah.
So I do have a two channel. I have a two channel fish finder.
Yeah.
Sonar.
Or you need the converter that'll.
Yeah. Or you need a converter box. Yeah. But
the real necessary one, like you say, is the HW.
Yeah, it's going to be 95% of your fishing,
yeah.
I think.
Yes.
And you can use it down to 300 feet. I fish rock, you know, for shallow water rock fish, it's fine.
I mean, I've used it to 500 and with pretty good
there
success,
you go.
Too.
Yeah,
it's pretty impressive.
It's so impressive. I can see, you know, when we descend fish, I can see the fish descend. Once I release them from the descender, the rockfish, I can see them swimming on down.
How cool
to the
is that?
Yeah.
Since I got that transducer on that Steiger with the Raymarine stuff, I am blown away at how my rock fishing has improved, because I can actually get to a spot and see them.
Right.
They're here, drop down.
Right. You know, and I learned, once again, always a student, I learned, you know, using that, what rockfish look like, you know. And a lot of times those vermilions aren't on the stone. They're off the stone, and they're like, you know, and a lot of times I look for that kind of that blue haze with some red marks inside
right.
of it, and that's when you say, oh, there's the reds.
They're almost individual fish spread apart.
Yeah, they're staggered. My friend Cesar Chavez, he taught me how to recognize those rockfish. And he goes, Jim, you're focusing too much on the structure. Get off the structure.
Oh.
Those reds are going to be up current of the structure usually.
Up current,
yes, because they all the fish always move up into the current and up into the water column when there's any current. So they'll move, you know, up and elevate.
And it's very similar to bass. So
mm-hmm,
if they're less active, they'll actually back up and hang behind the structure.
Right. Yeah. And that's, you know, you want them, you know.
Elevated
out,
and in front.
You know, and that's where you want them.
Dude, it's the same thing as yellowtail, right?
I mean,
as they get active and fired up, they move up and in front. They climb over each other to get to.
Yeah. So, and everything, of course, you know, wants to move into the current. You know,
you got me fired up.
Yeah.
So before we run out of time, I want to mention what can we look forward to on Saltwater Sportsman for articles for that you're putting together here.
Well, good question. We're definitely going to be covering some of the latest trends out here on the West Coast. We're probably going to be doing some bluefin stories, some yellowfin. I'm planning on a halibut story here coming up in Saltwater Sportsman. I think those are the kind of stories that we can look for. I'm always looking for story ideas. So if any listeners have story ideas, some really unique fisheries they want to talk about, things that not everybody knows about, you know, that's what I want to know. I want to write about.
Yeah.
Because there's only.
How do they get a hold of you to do that?
They can reach me at jim.hendricks@firecrown.com. Jim.hendricks, H-E-N-D-R-I-C-K-S, @firecrown.com. Or just go to Saltwater Sportsman. They'll find my email address there.
And most of Saltwater Sportsman's online now, right?
It is. You can go and that all that content is free.
It's free.
Yeah. Go online to saltwatersportsman.com. We have tons and tons of content, tons of videos, how-to stories, all kinds of stuff, and that's all free. You can read it, use it. You know,
and you were talking about the videos you did at ICAST this mm-hmm. past week.
Yeah, and those are also accessible through saltwatersportsman.com, but they'll take you over to our YouTube page.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, so I did 10 videos at ICAST with different manufacturers. You can find them all over there on our YouTube page.
Okay.
Yeah, so we talk about all kinds of cool stuff, everything from battery chargers to clothing to fishing rods, reels, fishing line, you name it.
So the one takeaway, other than that kayak from ICAST, is the wow product.
The wow. I got to say, I love that Talica.
The Talica?
I love that Talica.
40 or the 50?
The 40.
The 40.
I love the 40. The
40 is going to be pretty cool.
It just fills that gap. You know, I've got a 25, I've got a 50, and I was like, I got nothing in between here.
Yeah.
And I love the A-Series. The A-Series is so much nicer.
Lighter, more powerful.
Yeah, easier to turn the handle, better drag system.
Yeah.
So,
that's the first question I'm going to ask Rick next week, man, when they're getting those in the shop.
Yeah.
Christmas landing,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Hey, we're going to be right back. We're going to find out who's won this overnight trip out of Fisherman's Landing. And just such a cool day today. And we're going to be right back on the Let's Talk Hookup app, YouTube, Facebook Live, and 97.3 The Fan.
Pelagic is bringing back the California Tuna Challenge. Get ready for the most exciting tournament to hit the West Coast on August 22nd and 23rd. It's about the fun, it's about the tuna, and it's about your chance to cash in on big prizes. An affordable $500 entry fee per team gets you in. This fun two-day format is open to all Southern California anglers with three official weigh stations in San Diego, Newport, and Catalina. Optional jackpots and side bets up to $41,000 all in will raise the stakes for huge cash payouts, including options for Yellowtail and Dorado. The big tuna here. Win some major cash and bragging rights in the ultimate California offshore showdown. Registration is now open. Go to pelagictournaments.com for additional information, rules, and to register for this great fishing event. The Pelagic California Tuna Challenge, August 22nd and 23rd. Just $500 gets your team a shot at the ultimate California tuna bragging rights. Check pelagictournaments.com.
This is Pete Gray to tell you about my fishing buddy, Dan Hume, and his amazing company, Hume Termite. As you know, Southern California is infested with termites. It's a constant battle for anyone who owns a home, and that's where Hume Termite come in. They're strictly termite experts. They start with a thorough inspection to find out why you have termites in the first place, then recommend sustainable treatment options that work. Hume Termite has been controlling my termites for years, and I have recommended them to numerous friends. Did you know 99% of termite companies are commission-based? Not Hume Termite. They're all salaried employees, and with a thorough inspection, they'll help you solve your termite problems. Not sell you something you don't need. Let Dan and his crew earn your business through customer service and trust. It's swarming season, and now is the time to call Hume Termite at 760-598-2201. They'll come out and give you honest answers to solve your termite issues. Check HumeTermite.com.
Captain Jamie Tennis from Season Sport Fishing here. For the past few seasons, a dart-styled metal jig has come into play in a big way for tuna offshore or even rockfish down deep. AFCO's Crossbreed Jig has quickly become the go-to for many since it came onto the market. AFCO's Crossbreed Jig is good to go right out of the package with a 4X treble hook, heavy-duty split rings, West Coast colors, and sizes 60 gram to 120 gram. Pick one up today at your local tackle store or learn more on AFCO.com.
Season long-range fishermen know that the Red Rooster 3 is the finest fishing vessels in terms of technology, design, speed, comfort, and safety. This 105-foot sport fishing yacht meets every demand for comfort while delivering an unforgettable fishing vacation. Captain Andy Cates and crew are experienced, friendly, and sincere in their desire to help you have the trip of a lifetime. Book a trip on the Red Rooster 3 and you'll be back. Trips go fast. So check RedRooster3.com or call Lee Palm Sport Fisheries at 619-224-3857.
Looking for the ultimate Alaska fishing experience and the best value in Alaska? Look no further than Kingfisher Charters in Sitka, Alaska. A trip to Kingfisher includes everything you need to make your experience legendary. The finest fishing fleet in Sitka with the best captains, deluxe accommodations, gourmet food, world-class fish processing, and the best part, it's all included for one amazing price. Kingfisher is Let's Talk Hookup's most popular destination. Hundreds of listeners have experienced Kingfisher Charters, and most go back again and again. You have probably heard a lot of big promises from other Alaska lodges, only to find there were lots of hidden charges. Not Kingfisher. Everything is included. 10-hour fishing days, your license, fish processing, super deluxe accommodations, amazing food, airport transfers, and fishing gear. All you bring is your layer clothing, and Kingfisher covers the rest. Kingfisher Charters, your Alaska fishing destination. 800-727-6136 or check kingfishercharters.com.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. We're going to have Jim Hendricks flip the coin. Go for it, Jim. The winner, Texter, happens to be Rory in Lakeside.
Hey,
how about
congratulations,
that?
Rory. You're the winner of that overnight trip out of Fisherman's Landing, and congratulations. And, Jim, never enough time when you're on the show. You do so much. And, first of all, I want to personally thank you for all the hard work you do with CCA.
Well,
and, yeah. I mean, you don't have a lot of time, and you spend a lot of time doing it.
I believe in it. I believe in it, and I just want everybody else to believe in it because it's our future.
It is our future. Mm-hmm. And the latest example is Sandbass.
Yes. Yeah,
wouldn't have it right now if it wasn't for
CCA. A marvelous victory for CCA and SAC, and we just, you know, we worked hard, and we met and it was a lot of behind the scenes work, not just in the commission meetings, but it a lot of people worked hard on that, and there's a lot of credit to
thank you very much,
Jim. And a lot of credit to the commissioners for realizing that, too. Thank you, Corey, for being here. Thank you, Jim, for being here. Thanks to Jeff on the fan. Thanks to Adam for all he does on the Let's Talk Hookup app. Next Saturday, Alex, the sports party. Yes, indeed.
Yes.
He's going to be here. That's going to be so fun. Expert calico angler. And next Sunday, Captain Cameron Cribbins from the Mission Bell will be here. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week right back here on 97.3 Spin, YouTube, Facebook Live, and the Let's Talk Hookup app.